The plan for tonight's shiur is to really get into the thick of the sugya. We're going to read through the Gemara again, which we've done already, but to really try to figure out conceptually what the various mechayvim and or pturim are in all of the important cases. As you may recall, our sugya talks about the alternate scenarios of Vor Brishus HaYachid and Vor Brishus HaRabim. Which one are you chayev? They're sort of opposite views. It gets a little more complicated with the Amoraim, but fundamentally, as we're going to see, there's going to be three basic views. You're chayev both in Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, you're chayev only in Rishus HaYachid, and you're chayev only in Rishus HaRabim. And we're going to try to figure out first, what is the Mechayev of Bor? We've discussed this already to some degree, but we're going to try to dig deeper, I guess, and then we'll look at the cases where one is Pater, Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, and there's different iterations of each, and try to understand the shitos here on a lumdish, on a conceptual level. So we'll start by reading through the sugya. We'll read the Mishnah quickly, but really the action is in the Gemara, which doesn't directly relate to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Achofer bor b'shus hayachid u'v'sachler b'shus harabim, o b'shus harabim u'v'sachler b'shus hayachid, b'shus hayachid u'v'sachler b'shus hayachid, acher chayev." So if someone digs a pit from their field and then opens up, the opening is in the public domain, or the hole is in the public domain and it opens into their field, or if they dig from one Rishus HaYachid to another, they're chayev in all of these cases. Mem tes amud beis. This is the sort of standard view of the Mishnah, which seems to say you're chayev both in Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, all things being equal. But moving now into the Gemara raises new opinions, new shitos. Tanu Rabbanan, hachofer bor b'shus hayachid u'v'sachler b'shus harabim. Right, a similar case. You dig your pit in your own field, and the opening, right, underground, it's a hole in your field, and it opens up into the public domain. Chayev, you're chayev for that. V'zeo bor ha'amar b'torah. That's what the Torah is talking about when it talks about bor divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael's view. You're chayev for a pit that's open in the Rishus HaRabim. And as I think we saw previously, but we'll just take a look again. Tosfos diras lachofer tells us klala de milsa b'cholach shmeitza bor basar pischo azlinan. Right, when we think about a bor, is it in Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim? It really all goes by the opening. So if the opening is in Rishus HaRabim, it's a bor b'Rishus HaRabim. The nechshav bor ki'ilu b'makom she pesach sham. Wherever the opening is, that's where the pit is considered to be. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, the classic bor that the Torah is talking about, where it says Yerchayev, is a bor with the opening in the Rishus HaRabim. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Hifkir Rishuso velo Hifkir Boro, Zehu Bor Amar Batar. No, the bor that the Torah is talking about is if Hifkir Rishuso velo Hifkir Boro. You own a field with a pit in the middle, you give up ownership of the field, and you retain ownership of the pit. That's what the Torah is talking about, and this is what we call a case of Rishus HaYachid, right? Because you still own the pit. It's in your field, and the whole field used to be yours. We're doing the Gemara, so we'll get to the sheet soon, but you should get a Gemara. So the field is, the pit is owned by you, so that's Rishus HaYachid. So Rabbi Yishmael says, you're chayev for bor in Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Akiva says, you're chayev for bor in Rishus HaYachid. That's just the Tanaim themselves. And then the Amoraim get it a little more complicated. They complexify this a bit. Amar Rabba, b'bor Rishus HaRabim, kli amal pligi de mechayev. Rabbah says, if it's a bor in the street, everyone says Yerchayev. My taima, what's the reason? Amar kra ki yiftach v'chi yichre. Right, the pasuk says, opening a pit, digging a pit, imal p'shich l'chayev akri lo kol shekein. Shouldn't digging be worse than uncovering, than opening the pit? Why do we need to say both? Ela shal iske p'shich v'al iske kriya ba'alo. You came into responsibility for this pit because you dug it. So that means this is talking about a pit in the public domain. Everyone would agree that a bor b'shus harabim is what the pasuk is talking about, and your chayev. So what's the machlokas about? Yes, which is what we'll call, as Toso said, everything goes by the opening. So anytime I say a pit in b'shus harabim, that means that the opening is in b'shus harabim. So what's the debate about? Lo nechlu el b'bor b'rishuso. The machlok is about a bor b'rishuso yachid. Rekiva saver bor b'rishuso na michayev. Rekiva says you're also chayev. Dichsiv baal habor b'bor de islay baalim kamar. The puzzle says baal habor yishalim. The owner of the pit. That means you own the pit. It means it's in b'rishuso yachid. That's when you're chayev. Rabbi Yishmael saver no baal hatakala. When the puzzle says baal habor, it doesn't mean the financial owner of the pit. It means the person who's responsible for it, the Baal HaTakala, the one responsible for creating the damage. Now this debate, or these two sides of the coin, Baal HaBor versus Baal HaTakala, will be very important. When we think about, and we've discussed this a little bit, but again, we're going to get a little deeper into the sugya. When we talk about responsibility for Bor, is it because you own it, like most other mazikin, like most other nizikin, like you own the shore and you're chayev? Same thing for the Bor, you own the Bor and you're chayev? Or is it this other point of Baal HaTakala? It's not that you own the pit, it's that you created the danger, you created the takala, and that's why you're going to be responsible for what happens. Let's continue in the Gemara. Right, so that's Rabba's rendering, where everyone agrees, Rishus HaRab Mir Chayev, and Rishus HaYachin Machlokes, Rikivis is Chayev, Rabbi Shmuel says Pater. Then he needs to deal with the language in the Braisa, Elamai Zehu Bor, Hamar Batorah, Tifam Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean, Rikiva says this is the Bor in the Torah? No, Zehu Bor, Shabazim Ba'al Kansu Tchil L'Tashlumin. That's the Bor talking about in Pasuk number 2 about payment. Fine, so that's Rabba's rendering. Rav Yosef Amar, Bibor Rishus HaYachid, Kul Yamal Pligid Machayev. Everyone agrees you're Chayev in Rishus HaYachid, my Taima. Talking about owning the pit. Baal HaBor has to pay. Everyone agrees about that. So what do they disagree about? About a public domain pit. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Borbashus Arabim Nami Chayev Dixit Ki Yiftach Yichre Yimal Psicha Chayev Akriel Kolshkin Asher Iskip Psicha Eskei Kriya Baalo. Right, it talks about digging, opening and digging. It means the point is if you are responsible for having created this nuisance, You're the Baal HaTakala, you're going to be Chayev. That's talking about Rosh HaSarabim. That's what Rabbi Yishmael says. Rabbi Akiva says, you're Patur and Rosh HaSarabim. Hanu mitzvah tzricha. You need to have both Ki Yiftach and Ki Yichre for a different reason. Ki Yichas Rechamana Ki Yiftach. Havim Poseach with the Sagi Lebe Kisui. If you actually opened up the pit, then you can just cover it and you're all good. Kore lo Sagi Lebe Kisui ad timely. But if you dig the pit, you need to actually fill it in. That's what you would have thought. So that's why you need to say both. Because Rachmana Kiyichre, if you only had Kiyichre, Havamina Krihu Dabai Kisui, Mishum Da'avid Maisa, I would think only if you dug the pit do you need to cover it at all. I will poseach the love of Maisa, Ema Kisui, Nami Lobai, Kamash Malan. I would think if you just opened the pit, you don't need to do anything because you didn't really dig it. You never really did any action. You just opened it up. You don't need to fix it, Kamash Malan. That's why we need both. Fine.
Yeah,
right. We learned each way, right? We need both terms to say that that if you dig it, if you actually dig the hole, you don't need to fill it in, you just need to cover it. And if you open it, you still need to cover it. You can't get away with doing nothing. So that's why you need both Lashonos for Rabbi Akiva. And then again, dealing with the language here, Elamai Zehu Bor HaAmar BaTorah, the Amar Yishmael, why does Rabbi Yishmael say, this is the pit that's in the Torah? If he says, you're chayiv in both, what does he mean? No, Zehu Bor, Shepasav Wachasav Tchila L'Nezikin. It means that's the first pit that the Pasuk is talking about, in the pasuk about Nezik, and in pasuk number 1. But he would also say you're chayev for Rishus HaYachid as well.
So it's included just under pasuk number 2.
Yeah, pasuk number 2, separate thing. So what we come out with, we end up with the same, right? If we started with Rabbi Akiva saying that you're chayev only in Rishus HaYachid, Rabbi Yishmael saying you're chayev only in Rishus HaRabim, right? We thought we had like the two polar views. Rabba and Rav Yosef come in, those two extreme views still exist. Right? We still have the view that you're only chayiv in Rishus HaYachid, and we still have the view that you're only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. It's just limited, right? And both Rabba and Rav Yosef think that you're chayiv, that there's one scenario in which you're chayiv both. Just to spell this out, according to Rabba, in Rishus HaRabim, everyone holds your chayiv, right? And Rabbi Yishmael says you're pater in Rishus HaYachid and only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, whereas for Rav Yosef, everyone holds your chayiv in Rishus HaYachid, and just Rabbi Akiva is poter in Rishus HaRabim. So we still have a view of Rabbi Akiva saying that you're chayiv only in Rishus HaYachid and not Rishus HaRabim, according to Rav Yosef, and we still have a version of Rabbi Yishmael saying you're only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, not Rishus HaYachid. That's Rabba, right? We just also have the views that you're chayiv in both. I was going to make a chart and then I forgot.
They don't both coexist with each other.
But if we want to understand sort of the range of views conceptually, right? We basically have three views here. One view is you're only chayiv in Rishus HaYachid. The other view is you're only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. And the third view is you're chayiv both. Right? Putting together all four scenarios, two of which overlap, those are the three shittos that we end up with. So we need to be able to explain all three of these shittos conceptually. And one question you always wonder, according to the views that say you're chayiv both in Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, is that the same mechayiv in both cases, or is it two different mechayiv? Right? Are you chayiv for the same reason, the same trigger, so to speak, the same source of responsibility in Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, or are they two separate things that happen to coexist? This is a little abstract, so we're going to get into more detail. Right now. So what did the Gemara... The Gemara seemed to say there were two different terms, two different psukim even, to say why you're chayiv for nezek, right? What were they? I mentioned it before. Sorry?
For nezek
niske bori, yeah. Right, ownership and achrayus, or baal habor and baal hatakala, right? That's the language the Gemara says, and it even ties into two different psukim. Right, or potentially, right? Pasuk number one is talking about al iske psicha ve al iske kriya ba'alo. You dug the pit in the Rishus HaRabim, so you're responsible for it. And then pasuk number two is ba'al habor yishalim. So it seems like, just at first glance, there's two different mechayvim here. Even according to the people who say you're chayiv in both cases, it's really for two different reasons, right? You're chayiv in Rishus HaYachid because it's ba'al habor, because you own it. The same way you're chayiv for an ox, goren, because you own the ox, you own the pit. And in Rishus HaRabim, you're chayiv not because you own the pit, but because you're responsible for having created the pit. Right? That's what it sounds like offhand, although we'll see it may be a little more complicated. And maybe, according to the extreme views, the view that you're only chayiv in Rishus HaYachid, or you're only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, the way it sounds like from the Gemara, it sounds like they each reject one or the other mechayiv, right? They read the psukim such that you're only chayiv if you own it. Right? Right, Rabbi Akiva says, Baal Habor means you own it, that's Rishus HaYachid. And the Kiyiftach and Kiyichre, there's some other explanation for it, right? It's to know that you need to fill it in, you need to cover it, but don't need to fill it in on the one hand, right? So according to that view, Rabbi Akiva says, the only reason you're Chayav is Baal Habor, not Baal HaZakala. And Rabbi Shmuel says the opposite. Rabbi Shmuel says you're only Chayav in Rishus HaRabim, you know, the extreme version of Rabbi Shmuel. Right, Rabbi Yishmael, according to Rabbah, that you're only chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. Why is that? Because you're only chayiv for Baal HaTakala. There's no chiyuv for owning the boar. Right? This is like sort of the first glance at the sugya, what seems to come out of it. And we made some gestures in this direction in a previous year. But it actually gets a little more complicated. So first of all, right, we've been assuming until now that the chiyuv in Rishus HaRabim is going to be Baal HaTakala. You're responsible for creating a dangerous situation, and not because you actually own what's going on, the boar that you dug in Rishus HaRabim. But that's not so simple. So look at source number one on the sheet. Source number one on the sheet, we've mentioned this before. It's famous both because of boar and because of Pesach. So it's, you know, it sort of has a couple of reasons to come up at different times, but so we'll read the lines. The Avar of Elazar Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Shnei Dvarim Einan Bershuso Shel Adam VeAsana Kasu Ki Ilu Hein Bershuso. Two things don't belong to a person, but the Torah makes it as if they belong to them. VeElu Hein Bor Bershuso Rabin, right, a pit in the public domain. You don't own that. You don't own the land, but somehow you're responsible. The Chametz Mishesh Shalosu Mala Chametz after, you know, the sixth hour on Pesach, you don't own it because you can't own it because it's ownerless, it's worthless, and yet you do own it in the sense that you're responsible for it. So how do we understand this teaching, this brisa, right? Does it literally mean that you own the boar, or does it just mean that you're responsible without owning the boar? You can ask the same question about Pesach. So the Rashba on source 2 actually addresses this. And he quotes a Rashi that we don't have in our Gemara. It's a Rashi that I guess got lost other than through secondhand quotations. So let's look at this Rashba. And this will tie into the Rashba we saw previously, but it's a different piece. But it's again about the question of owning the boar. And he says, Ubor nami, afagav de eno mamono, kari le mamoncha. You know, these all four nezikin, they're called mamoncha, even though technically boar is not really your money. The Torah made it as if it's your money, so we'll call it your money. But it's not really financially yours. Right, so Rashi says well, you know, it's not really your money, but we'll call it your money because it's put in your rishus. And the Rashi says, "Ve'enu mechumra." This doesn't make sense. The mikol makom in the krosso moment. Just don't call it money. Why are you calling money at all? What are you gaining by saying that? It shouldn't be money, right? So Rashi sort says it sort of is mamon. The Rashi rejects this. The ode vade nira de logar sinan lei midakshin megmara alei de rav de amar mavize adam the adam shmirasan alecha adam shmiras gufo alav uparek tani shmiras gufo alav v'im isa milo akshi lei mamoncha mamonohu. Right, there's also a...
Can you translate that?
He brings a proof from the other case of Mave to show why Rashi doesn't work so well. So we can go through it in detail if you want. Right, in Mechubra, it's not clear. You call Makom in the Krosa Mama. You still shouldn't call it Mama, number one. Number two, the Ode, Vade Nered Logar Sinanle. It appears that we don't have this Girsa of Ushmi Rasan, of Umamoncha, right? We don't have that Girsa, which Rashi had, and says it's sort of your mama. We don't have that, actually. Why? The Gemara asks on Rav, who says, in a different context there, the Amar Maveze Adam, right? Of the four, right? Who's Mave? Is Mave Shein or Adam? Rav says Maveze Adam. The Adam Shmirasan Alecha. And if we say Mave, is the mission there, says Mave is Shmirasan Alecha, how does that make sense? Adam Shmiras Gufo Allah, what does that mean? Right, it's you're responsible for Adam, you are Adam. Uparik, Tani, Shmiras Gufo Alav. No, okay, it's not Shmiras and Alechat, Shmiras Gufo Alav, right? You're responsible for your body. Okay, so it raises that question about the terminology. In Isan, if it's true what Rashi says, that we have the word Mamoncha, discussing Bor, Amailo Akshile Mamoncha Mamonohu. Why do we need to... right, we should also ask the question, it's not mamoncha, it's mamono. Fine, because it should be third person, just like shmiras gufo, it should also be shmiras mamono. So he has some grammatical, not quite grammatical. Why didn't the Gemara ask the same question about the second person, third person, about that? So probably you don't have the girsa. Okay. Velo od, ela delo shayach lemeimar be, lo mamoncha velo mamono. And the truth is, neither term is really relevant. It's not mamon at all. It's not your mamon. Even if you say it's your money, right? So it doesn't literally mean it's your money. It means we present it as if it's your money. It should be no less than your money. So the Rashba really doesn't like this idea of taking mamoncha literally, but Rashi does. We have two different takes. In Daf Beis there, on that statement, I mean, it's not literally going on it, but it's presumably based on it, right? Rashi says Shnei Dvarim. Rashi quotes it. Rashi that the Rashi was quoting quotes the idea Shnei Dvarim Inu Rishus Shel Adam. So how to understand this first source, this Shnei Dvarim Inu Rishus Shel Adam, is a bit of a debate. Right? Rashi seems to say it's not quite your money, but it basically is your money, or we make it as if it's your money. And the Rashi says no, don't say it's your money. But presumably, according to the Rashba, it's something you're responsible for, right? You're responsible for it, for having created it, but it doesn't actually become your money. But what comes out is, if we take Rashi seriously, or literally, and we take the statement of Rabbi Lazar literally, not only is Bor B'Rishus HaYachid Chayev because it's Mamoncha, because it's Baal HaBor, even Bor B'Rishus HaRabin is Baal HaBor, right? Once you dig it, you own it. Not for all purposes, but for the purposes of Nezikin, you're the owner, and you're chayiv because you're Baal HaBor. So that's one way that we can twist things, right? We thought Rishus HaRabim was only going to be Baal HaTakala, not Baal HaBor. Turns out, maybe, it's actually Baal HaBor if we take Rashi seriously. And we can also go in the opposite direction, right? I thought, why is a Bor Rishus HaYachid? Why are you chayiv for Bor Rishus HaYachid?
Baal HaBor,
you own it. You own it. Just like you're Baal HaShor, you're chayiv. Baal HaBor, you're also chayiv. But maybe that's not so simple. So, looking here at source 3, the Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishalemes Masha Nehnes. This is by Shane, right? Shane, if the animal eats something, it pays for what it benefited from. The Gemara says, Ketzad Mishalemes Masha Nehnes, Amar Rav Uve Mechazeres. Right? And Shmuel says, Mechazeres Nami Pater. But this is saying, right, that he limits it to a case of where it's sort of the animal's moving around. Jumping to the underlying piece, the Gemara analyzes this. Amar Rav, lo shanu el mechazeres. This is what Rav, this is like the reformulation of Rav. Rav says, We only say this point that the animal pays for what it ate if it's roving around. If I say, okay, my field now is, I'm setting it aside to the Rishus HaRabim, sounds like I'm being mafkirit or something like that. I'm giving up. I take down my fences. I say people can walk. I'm an animal that eats from that is pata. Maybe you'd even be chayev in that case. And now the Gemara brings in bor. Lema bibor bershuso kamiflegi. Maybe they're arguing about bor bershuso, right? Bor bershuso yachin. Maybe that's the debate. Rav de amar pater. Rav says your pater kasavar. Bor bershuso chayev. Why am I pater if you're eating? If your animal's eating stuff in my field? For the same reason that if your animal falls into a pit in my field, I'm going to be chayev. Bor bershuso chayev. Even though it's my field, it is my field. I own it, but I was matzel rishus harabim. I sort of gave it up. So I would still be chayev if an animal falls in. And Shmuel amar chayev. And Shmuel says you're chayev if the animal that eats from the field that I was matzel is chayev. He says kasavar bor bershuso pater. Shmuel would say the reason the animal that eats from my field is chayev is because if it actually fell into the boar, it would be putter. Basically,
because it's not supposed to be there?
Because something like that, right? The question is, how much do I retain, do I retain some sort of rights over this field in this scenario, right? So the question is, though, according to Rav, right, I didn't fully give up ownership. It seems like he's saying matzim makom doesn't mean that I give up, I wasn't mafkir completely, because then it wouldn't be a... Give easement, okay? Not up on the legal terminology. You allow people to pass, yeah. Matzah, you set it aside for everyone else, right? You give it up. If you do that, presumably you still own it because otherwise this whole discussion shouldn't exist. But even though you own it, Rav says bor bershuso chayev. Why would you be chayev? And it sounds like. The truth is, the Gemara later on backs off of this for technical reasons. Right? It says, "Amar lach Rav, olam imlach ba'alma bor bershuso pater." Maybe there's some other explanation for it. So the Gemara doesn't settle on this, but it sounds like what we're saying, according to Rav, bor bershuso chayev. Why are you chayev for bor bershuso? Not because you own it, really, because you've sort of given up. You're sort of letting people walk through. It's not really your bailus as much as it's the yetziras hatakala. You're chayev because you created this dangerous situation, and animals fell in. Even though it's rishus hayachid, it doesn't sound like we're saying you own it. Remember, if an animal eats from your stuff, according to Rav, they're pater, right? So it's hard to say that you have real monetary bailus if an animal that eats your stuff is going to be pater. And rather, it sounds like. You're chayev if an animal falls into your pit because you created something dangerous, even though it's in your rishus. You dug this hole in your rishus before you were mafkir, right? You were mafkir afterwards. But the fact that you, even though you dug a hole in your field, which at the time seemed reasonable, seemed safe, that counts as yetziras hatakala after your matzeh makom. So, again, this is a bit more of a stretch than the previous case, but maybe it's possible to say even... By bor bershus hayachid, you're chayiv not because of ownership, but because of yetziras hatakala, because of baal hatakala rather than baal habor. Again, it's a bit weaker of an argument, but at least there's a possibility there. We want to raise all the possible directions here. Okay, so yeah. So we're going to get to that.
In the field, you're still holding on to this bala kala. Is that analogous to?
We're going to get to that exact scenario in a few minutes. If you dig a pit and then are mafkir in sort of the standard scenario, this machtze makom is a little more complicated because it's not clear.
So what is machtze?
That's part of the debate here. Is it being mafkir or do you retain some ownership? It's somewhere in the middle, and that seems to be the debate between Rav and Shmuel themselves. But according to Rav. It seems like you don't really own it, and yet you're responsible for what happens there. Right? It's like almost the worst of both worlds.
I would say, according to Rob, your ability to relinquish it is significant enough because if the animal eats, you can't claim, but it's not significant enough to erase your ability to be responsible for the endangered, the dangerous thing that you set up in the area.
Right. And that seems to work better if you say consistently. You don't own it, but you still are responsible for it because the boar, you're responsible for it as Baal HaTakala, not as Baal HaBoar. Right. So even though it's Rishus HaYachid, you dug this in your own field, and yet, possibly, if we go with Rav, arguably, it's the Baal HaTakala that's making you chayav. It's the creating something dangerous rather than ownership that makes you chayav. Now, there's also a third mechayev, and we mentioned this only very quickly in previous week, which is not that you're chayev for boar because you own the boar, and not that you're chayev for boar because it's a dangerous situation that you're responsible for, but some even a step further away from normal nezikin, which would be adam hamazik. Boar, every boar, behind every boar is an adam hamazik. I think that's the expression. Behind every boar hamazik is an adam hamazik. What does that mean? So let's look at a couple of sources here. It's actually on the next Mishnah, on Daf Nun, but all these sugyas are interconnected, so we'll take a quick peek ahead. Hachover boar versus a rabim, v'nafo socho shor hamor chay. Okay, that's straightforward Mishnah, right? It's based on the pasuk, really. You dig a pit, and there's a rabim, an ox or a donkey, what is it? Yeah, ox or donkey falls in, you're chay. Good. So what's the case? What case are we talking about? So, Shitim Kubetzis, quotes Rabbeinu Yehonah, son. Masnisen, chover versus a rabim. Lo tema davka chofer bor bershuso, dehavale bor de isle bailim, kedichsiv bala bor. Don't say you're only chayav if it's a pit that's in your field, where the bala bor situation, aval chofer versus a rabim pater, but and then you would say that if you dig in the street, you're pater, dele isle bailim, because you don't own it. No, that's not true. Lehachi, that's why, right, that's what you might have thought given our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, there's always some personal ownership involved. You might have thought that. No, that's wrong. L'achi hadar v'tani, that's where you go back and have a new Mishnah. Achofer bor b'shus harabim, v'nafal tzokho shor hachamor, dehai bal habor, rotza lomar bal hatakala. What does it mean to be bal habor in b'shus harabim? It's not, you're not literally the bal habor, you don't own it. It means you're the bal hatakala. What does that mean? Klomar, shehu hischil b'nezeh. Right, it means that you, who dug the boar, you started the damage. Now, usually, if I, as a person, started damage, what do we call that? Adam Hamazik, right? If I light a fire, well, that's its own complicated thing, right? If I shoot an arrow and it hits something, so I started the damage, we'd say I'm liable. Again, that's also a little complicated. These things, makes things a little tricky, but but something like that. If I throw a ball, I started the nezek, and then it hits something. It's still, at the end of the day, it goes back to me. So that sounds like that's what he's saying. It's Adam Hamazik. I started the Nezek by digging this pit and in the street, and that's why I'm chayav. It somehow goes back to my action. Let's keep going. And then he says, this sort of side point, V'lav davka shor v'chamor, d'hu adin l'chol balichayim, any animal that falls in, even if birds fall in, fine. V'lashon ha-pasuk nakat, v'chsid v'lashon ha-shor v'chamor. It's following the pasuk. Says Rabbeinu Yehonah son, which this language of Shehu Yisrael b'Nezek gives some inkling of the idea that maybe it's Adam HaMazik, and it goes a step further in the Ra'ah, also quoting the Shidduch Kvetzes. So let's look at the Ra'ah. V'zal Lashon HaRa'ah Zal. Amar Rav Bor Shechiva Torah Lehevlo Lehevalo V'lo Chabato. We're going to get to this when we get to that Gemara, right? The question of why you're chayav for a pit, it's not the impact, it's rather the Hevel, it's the bad air. Amar Kasavar Chabato Karka Olamu Demaskele. Why are you putter for the impact? It's because you didn't do anything. The ground hit the person. Perish the boar, bein behevel, bein bechavat, grama be'almahu. Boar is always grama. It's not direct. In both cases, right? The bad air is not directly damaging, and the impact is not directly damaging. Uminadin ra'u sheyi putter begrama. Really, in truth, in principle, you should be putter by grama. Why? In general, grama benezikin pater. Indirect damage, indirect causation that leads to damage, you're exempt. So you should be exempt by boar also. Ela derachmanahu dechayve. The Torah goes out of its way. It has this gzeres hakatzav that you're chayve for boar, even though it's grama. Behechshon nizakav for the, I guess, supporting, facilitating the damage. Vechive aboro, and it says you're chayve for boar, even though it's grama. The hevla and for the hevel, right? So the for the bad air, the kevdo chazina the chive ela ahevla chavata kai. The Torah could have said you were chayev for the air. It could have said you were chayev for the impact. somehow we were medayik. The Torah only is talking about the heir, so therefore you're putter on the impact. Umin hadin putteru, and it makes sense that you're putter to haleka l'grama ba'alma. It's only grama, right? The more logical thing to say is you're putter for bor. Saying you're chaya for bor in the case of hevel is a big chiddush because it's grama. Now, in what sense is it grama? I mean, the person falls directly into the pit and bangs into the pit, right? So it only makes sense to say it's grama is if the grama is compared to my action. I dug a pit. That didn't directly lead to this person being injured. There are a whole bunch of steps in the middle. They needed to trip and fall in, and then they got injured. That's the grama. The pit itself is very direct, right? How is it indirect causation? The person trips, bangs into the boar directly hit them, right? If the boar were ashore, you wouldn't call it grama. It's only grama because the person who did the grama is me. I did the action. I who dug the pit did the action, and only damages indirectly, right? One step leading to another. So what the Ra'ah is saying here is even though bor b'shus harabim is grama, I'm still chayev. Now, what you have to wonder is, okay, so why am I chayev for bor despite it being grama? There's two ways we might understand that, right? We could say, well, if it was me that was chayev, if it was me that was responsible, it would be grama. So it must be I'm chayev for bor, not because of what I did, but because of the bor. Because I own the bor and the bor damaged you, or I'm responsible for the bor and the bor damaged you, and that's why it's not grama. Right? Because it's not me anymore. That's one way we can understand the Ra'ah. Alternatively, the Ra'ah is saying there's a gzeiras hakasav. The Torah says, even though it's grama, even though it's indirect damage that I did, I'm still going to be chayev. Right, that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of bor. That even though bor is adam hamazik begrama, I'm still chayiv. Right. So, if we take that second approach, we have a totally different understanding of the mechayiv of bor. Bor is not about something that you own that damages. Bor is not about something you're responsible for that damages. Bor is about adam hamazik begrama. It's a special scenario where a person indirectly causing damage is still chayiv. So that's. That's our third tzad here. Just one more indication that seems to support this is Tosfos on Daf Mem Tes. We're not going to read through the whole piece, but and we've already seen it, I believe. Yeah?
We have the issue of grama. So
yeah.
Is it possible to also think that the reason it's wrong is because it's not inevitable that somebody would get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it really just some sort of delay?
Right, so I mean, I think what you're pointing to is it seems like it's even less than grama, right? Usually, grama is something that will lead to B either with a certain percentage of the time or with some delay, right? But usually, we don't say here it's you can't point to a causal chain between me digging the pit and someone else's fault. Like there, a lot of things have to happen that are well beyond what I did for me to be chayav for the person falling in, right? So it's a good question. That this seems like it's less than grama.
Yeah,
why are we presenting it as grama? Right. There's so many steps where it could not. Yeah, it's a fair question, but the Ra'ah sees this as grama, right? So at the end of the day, the Ra'ah says even with all of that, it's still in the category of grama, and you would have been putter if not for the Gzeiras HaKasav, and the Gzeiras HaKasav teaches either that, well, it's not the Adam HaMazik with grama that's chayav, it's the bor that's chayav, that's, you know, you own or you're responsible for, or you might be saying, here we have the special Gzeiras HaKasav that Adam HaMazik is actually going to be chayav. The quick proof we'll look at from in source 7 from Tosfos Baba Kama, this is the question on the Mishnah of Rishus HaYachid of Sachar Rishus HaYachid Acher. Where you dig the pit in Rishus HaYachid, open up to a different Rishus HaYachid. Rashi says it means your own field. But Tosfos says it means someone else's field. So what's the Havamina if I dig a hole in my field and it opens up into someone else's field? What's the Havamina I'd be putter? Like if I make a hole in your field and then you're
not the Baal HaBor.
Okay, so that's right. So that could have been an argument. I mean, that's not what Tosfos ends up saying. But Tosfos says the Havamina is look at this the fourth line towards the end, the Rimefaresh, which is the Yachid of Sachar, which is the Yachid Acher in source 7. Dahaynu shechafer bor b'shus atzmo, you dig a pit in your own field. Uvsachar b'shus chaver, you open it to your neighbor's field. The itzrich, and you need to teach this. The lotema psachlo shus a rabim who dechayev the shchichi rabim. You're only chayev if you dig a pit and open it into the public domain. There's a lot of people there. Umanski, that's really dangerous. Aval b'shus a yachid the lekel amechash el lenezik yachidi potter. I open it to my neighbor's field. How many people are there? It's not so dangerous. How many? There's like three people that live there and two animals. Who's going to get hurt? I think that you're putter. And Tosfos, where does Tosfos get this havamina from? That it's not so dangerous. If you look up that Gemara, the Gemara says someone who's chopping wood and it sort of shoots out and hits people, how liable are you? And the havamina that you'd only be chayev, and there's just a rabbin, because there's a lot of people, but not there's just a yach, because there's fewer people. But how does this comparison work? It sounds like we're comparing boar to mivakeh eitzim. Mivakeh eitzim, what sort of mazik is that?
Grama.
That's right, it's adama mazik, but grama of some sort, or maybe it's not grama, that's part of the question. But it's adama mazik in some sort of indirect chain of adama mazik. And how are we comparing boar to that? You'd say, well, these are apples and oranges, right? Boar has its own set of rules. Why should you compare it to mivakeha? But maybe that works because Tosfos also understands that boar itself is a form of adama mazik bigrama. Maybe that's part of what's going on. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as grama bigrama? Like a second derivative of?
Yeah. We have it. What's it called? I forget the term in terms of a water mill on Shabbos.
Right, I was thinking of water. Yeah. You pour, whatever. I'm thinking of actually the flooding of the tunnels in Gaza. Mm-hmm. So you're not actually creating a boar, but you're pouring water, and the water creates a boar.
Right.
So you're like so far removed. So it was so that's an afkamina. It was a xerosakasa, then okay, you kind of nailed it. That's your mm-hmm. whatever your problem is. But if it has to be a concern about a boar, you're so far removed that there's no connection there.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, you have to look at the specifics because you might say the grama of grama is not grama, right? It's already something else, and you don't even have the exercise custom either. But yeah, in theory, that could be an example. We'd have to get into more specifics. Yeah.
How does Rabbi Yosef read this next mission? According to the way he's been taught by Rabbi Akiva, they only argue they agree in Rishus Hayaka. They argue in Rishus Rabbah.
Mm-hmm.
If this mission that Hover Borber, she's a Rabbah, double double show of Chayah. So how does that Tano, according to Rabbi Akiva, that says you're not Chayah and she's a Rabbah, how do they read this mission?
Yeah, we'll have to wait until we get up to there. But I mean, it's not every Tana has to fit with every Mishnah as a general rule.
That's the answer we want to give, though.
That's no. I'm just saying we'll get there when we get there. I'm just saying as a Well, yeah, it's not an immediate, it doesn't immediately undermine everything. Even you're going to say on our Mishnah, how does our Mishnah seems to say you're chayiv in all cases? Then you can always adjust the case a little bit, but fine.
Well, our Mishnah did adjust the case.
Right. Although it's interesting, our Mishnah doesn't really connect between, our Gemara doesn't connect between our Mishnah and our Brisa. It just starts the Brisa and focuses on that and almost ignores the Mishnah. Not sure what to do with that, but it is what it is. Okay, so just to take a step back, what have we seen? We've seen three different types of mechayvim of boar. Is boar about bal habor, ownership of the boar, monetary ownership? Just like bal hashor, the boar damages someone, you own the boar, you're chayiv. Or is boar chayiv not because you own it, but because it's something dangerous that was created? Right, bal hatakala. And we have gzeiros hakasevs for each of those. Or a third possibility, maybe it's really adama mazik begrama. And we have exeris akasav that even though it's adama mazik begrama, you're still chayiv. And we said the sort of default assumption, the default conclusion people generally reach is that, okay, Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Baal HaBor, Rosh Hashanah Rabim is Baal HaTakala, but it doesn't need to be that way. There's an argument to be made that Rosh Hashanah Rabim is actually Baal HaBor because it's in Rosh Hashanah Adam and the Torah puts it Rosh Hashanah Adam. Maybe that means you own it, as Rashi may have said. And even if we say Bor Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that might be Baal HaTakala if we follow Rav in the idea of Makzeh Makom Mirashusa. Good. So that's the general question of what's the Mechayiv. Now we get into the Pturim, right? Remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's a Pturim in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's a Pturim in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, at least according to one Amora. And there's different variations of each. So why are you putter in each of these cases? So this is what we'll start with. You see the header. Ptur of Bor, Rishus HaRabim. If you say, like Rabbi Akiva, that you're putter in the Rishus HaRabim, according to Rav Yosef, right? You're putter in Rishus HaRabim. So what's the logic behind that? What's the logic behind that? What would you say offhand?
People need to be vigilant for themselves and pursue their own.
Right. Okay, so that's one explanation, right? One explanation could be, look, it's the street. You have to watch where you're going. If there's a pothole, you know, you should look down. You shouldn't fall in. That's one explanation. According to that explanation, you might say, look, really, the person who dug the pit should be liable in principle, should be liable in principle, but you can blame, so to speak, the victim, right? It's not a nice thing to do, but, you know, this is a court case. You can imagine, why did you dig the pit? Well, why did you fall in, right? Who's to blame? As long as you can sort of pin the blame on the other person, what were you doing? Not looking where you were going. You fell in. That's one way that you might say the person who dug the pit gets off the hook.
When the animal falls in, how do you...
Or the animal, right? Same idea. The animal should look where it's going. Animal then will... If animals don't look where they're going, they would die in a second. It has to look in front of it. It sees a big hole. The owner should be responsible. Some combination of the... That's one approach. What else? What else might we say? What's maybe...
It's not mine.
It's not. There's no Bailin. Remember, Rabbi Akiva seems to not accept the drasha, at least in the Rav Yosef iteration, to not accept the drasha of Baal Tzakala. It's in the Rishus HaRabim. You dug it. You dug it. Therefore, you're responsible for it. He seems to reject that. So I think the simple, the pasha, you're just reading the Gemara offhand. You'd say, look, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not your problem. It's not your field. You don't own it. You did some digging that wasn't so nice. Maybe it's even usser, but that doesn't mean that you're chayav for animals that fall in. So these are two different, really two like opposites of one another, two different explanations. Either you're fundamentally responsible, but because the animal that fell in is also to blame, you get off the hook. Or you never were responsible in the first place. Then you don't need to blame any victims, right? You just say, it's not my problem. I dug a hole. Not my hole. It doesn't belong to me. It's not my problem. So as we saw in the Gemara, the simplest explanation is just to say, Rabbi Akiva doesn't have this drasha of al iske krio psicha balo, right? What we call balata kala, right? That you're responsible for having done this. You're not responsible at all. That's maybe the simplest explanation. But if we look in the Ravid here, in source 8, we see a more complex scenario. Now, the Ravid here is on Daf Kaf Ches. This is a case, which you've come across in the past, of where someone leaves their stuff in the Rishus HaRavim without being mafkirit. You leave your bag or something like that on the street. You still own it. And the Rav says that you're chayiv midin shor. Now, there's a machlokas rishonim. When you say you're chayiv midin shor, is that because you're not chayiv midin bor? Or is that, was your chayiv midin shor and bor, and shor gets you more liability? Fine, but the Ravid is going to work with the assumption that according to Rav, if you own the knapsack that you leave in the street or whatever else you leave in the street, and someone falls on it, you're chayiv midin shor because it's not bor. You're not chayiv midin bor in that case. And we have to figure out why are you not chayiv for bor if you leave your knapsack in the street. So let's read this Ravid. Right, for Rav, hani mili heichad afkarin. Right, hani mili, it's bor only if you're mafkirit. If you're not mafkirit, it's actually shor. So he says, Kashuli Ladas Rav Dimchaiv al Hamayim Mishum Shoro. Here's a case of water, same thing. Water, backpack, it's all the same. So he says, I have a problem. According to Rav, who says you're chayiv for water you leave in the street that you still own, that it's shore. Minates, where do we learn this out from? Imi Shane in Hanalazeko. Imi Regel Tanakh Sayachab Trusa Rav and Lipatev Regel. We can't really derive it from Shane or Regel. Shane has Hana. Here there's no Hana from having your water in the street. Regel would be putter in Rishus HaRavim, so you can't learn it out from Regel. So what's the source to say your chayiv is shor here? The ode. Hechi shchiyach hezekayu. How is this common, a common sort of damage? Fellow enam zazim im komam. It's not moving. It's not likely to damage someone. Aval haregel holechas v'doresis v'shoveresim holechas v'shchiyach hezekah. You can't learn out from Regel to this case of leaving your water in the street. A regel, the animal's moving around damaging stuff. Here, your water's just sitting there, so it's much less high. You can't learn that from there. Oh, hello, Rav Moda behifkir reshuso. Now we're getting to bor. Rav Moda behifkir reshuso v'lo hifkir boro shechayev mishum bor. Rav would agree to the opinion that if you're mafkir, you're a field, but not the pit in the middle, you're chayev for bor. Right? This is known as bor reshus hayachid. Bor reshus hayachid. you dig a pit, you mafkir your field, you're chayav for bor, ki di'ezer perakapara, like in our sukya. Umay shnahani me'ahu bor. So how is this, how is leaving your knapsack or your water in the middle of the street that you own any different from a bor in your field? You own it. It's dangerous. You should be chayav. Very kishinicham rishusa rabbi. When you leave your knapsack in the street, nami shehifkir rishuso, who shechomine adam alechas fioso. Leaving your knapsack in the street is the same as digging a pit in your field and being mafkir. People are going to walk around it. V'abor shelo, when you own the bor or the knapsack, and they're going to get hurt. You should be chayav. V'gam elu shelo, hein. Right, these are also yours, just like the bor. Ukmosha patra ve'oso abor, al niske kelim, v'misas adam, lo melo yeh patra ve'elu. So why is this not considered bor? This is considered shor, and you're actually chayav for kelim, right? If someone drops their expensive glass into their china, into a pit, and it breaks, you're putter. Or you say, chamor velo kalim. You're putter for kalim and a bor. But you're chai for kalim by shore. Why in this case of your knapsack in the street, is it different than a bor, b'rishus hayachid, shehifke rishuso? The difference being kalim. Why is there a difference? It should be the same thing. It should be chayiv for bor, in this case of your knapsack in the street as well. V'ikla meimer. So here's his explanation for the difference. Shiny hifkir reshuso, velo hifkir bor, omehana. The case of being mafkir, your field, but not your pit, is different than this case of leaving your bag in the street. Dahu, the al karkach mivdil le, hasam, fe'afagav delo mafkir le. Ukshe hifkir reshuso, vihifkir boro, hupatu. So he wants to say, if you're, let's say you're mafkir, your field, but not the bor. The bor is automatically batel, right? Even though you're not actively mafkir it. And if you're mafkir, you're rishus, and you're bor, you would be pater in terms of something that you own, right? Because you're mafkir it completely, and that's why it's not considered chiyuv for ownership. Or you're not chayav for being a bala bor, because you really were mafkir, you're bor too. Aval hanach, but these things, your knapsack in the street, Kevin de lo mafkir lehu, that's the whole point. You weren't mafkir, you still own it. Vidaite le mishkalinu, and you're going to take it back later. You want to take it home later. Mehasam, to take it from there. Mamonehu, it's your mamon. Uki keren muad damu. It's like keren muad. It's like a warned ox, because it's very dangerous. Shadarko lehazik, bishar muad. It's very dangerous, and you should be liable. So that's his explanation. The difference, bor, if you dig a pit in your field, and then you're mafkir your field. Mishum Baal HaBor, you're pater. Why are you pater Mishum Baal HaBor? Because what does it mean you own a hole? There's no value there. You're mafkir that too. You don't own it. You're liable, not because you own it. You're liable because you don't own it, but it's dangerous. Right? Whereas, this knapsack in the street, you're chayiv as shor, not bor. You're chayiv as shor because you own it.
Before we assume that ownership of the bor itself is something.
Yeah, and he seems to reject that idea. There's no, if you own the boar, if you really own the boar, that's not boar anymore. That's sure. Right? I mean, with a physical pit, that's unlikely that you do own it. Boar is only if you actually don't own it. Let's just finish the piece. Lashon v'regel lekla damu yinhu. Sorry, l'shein v'regel lekla damu yinhu l'potram rishus harabim. Don't compare this knapsack of shore to shein and regel, to say your putter in the street. Dehanu rishus ka'azli hasam. Shane and Regal, the animal's allowed to walk in the street. That's fine. Uman demanach perio kelim hasam, you pasha benavshe. If someone leaves their stuff in the street, that's their fault. Don't leave stuff in the street. Avohai, lav birshus manach lu. When I leave my knapsack in the street, I don't have permission to do that. That's dangerous. Vidami kamisha kavanasa lahazik, vikaren muedes, the shriach hazeka. And that's like leaving my ox, my dangerous muad ox, running around that's very dangerous. So what's the Ravid saying? The Ravid saying, why am I putter in Rishus HaRabim? So number one, why am I putter in, right, for Bor, according to the opinion that you're putter for Bor in Rishus HaRabim, right? Remember, this is Rav, who says you're chayev midin shor, but not midin Bor. So why are you putter for Bor, Rishus HaRabim? Bor, by definition, is something that you don't own, right? So what's the basis of the view that you're putter for Bor in Rishus HaRabim? We already know you don't own it. Why are you putter? So he gave a hint. He gave the hint a second ago, Right? Why is an animal that tramples on fruits in the street putter? Why is regel putter versus a rabbin? It's expected, and not only that, he says more than that. He says, "Where's the line? Uman de manach perio kelim hasam ihu pasha binafshe." We're literally blaming the victim. We're blaming the person who put their peros in the rishus harabim. What are you doing? That's a dangerous thing to do, and you have to take that loss. So it should be the same thing by boar. Again, leaving aside this case of shore, right? If it's a knapsack, it's a little different. But if it's actually a physical boar, you dig a pin in the street, you don't own it. So you're definitely not going to be chayiv because of bala boar, but you'd be chayiv because it's a boar, right? You're chayiv for bala takala. Why aren't you chayiv for bala takala? Because iu de pasha anafshe, the argument would be the same thing, right? Otherwise, Rav maybe should say it's boar, but Rav doesn't say it's boar. Rav says it's shore because in terms of boar, we say ihu de pasha anafshe. Between what and what?
The first answer that I gave is that you're walking in a public place. You got to look around.
Yeah, you have to look around.
How is this different?
It's just a stronger formulation. I think it's the same direction. But it's saying, not only do you have to be careful, it's your fault that you got injured, right? Otherwise, you know, I as the bala boar, not the bala boar, the bala takala, right? The person responsible for, I should be liable in theory if you didn't do something wrong by not looking where you're going, right?
So this is the same thing, but stronger.
Okay? You know, I think buyer beware maybe can be understood in different ways. So yeah, but definitely the same direction. So this is a new direction here, right? Not just saying, okay, it's in the street, so you don't own it, so you're not responsible for it. Again, according to the Ravid, all boros are things that you don't own. The whole mechayev of bor is not about ownership. The reason why you would be putter in this case is not because you don't own it, but because the people who ran into it are posheya, just like the p'tur of Shane and Regal. If you think about it, right, we're used to saying, well, right, we in the past we've compared shore, like Karen, let's say, to Shane and Regal. Right, Shane and Regal is only chayev in rishus hayachid, whereas Karen is chayev in rishus hayachid and rishus harabim. And one of the differences that we noted is Shane and Regal is right. Animals are allowed to walk in the street, and like buyer beware. Or if you leave your peros, your poshea. The different formulations. It's not unreasonable to say if you think that boar, like Shane and Regel, is putter and rishus harabim, to say that it's putter and rishus harabim for the same reason. Right? There's a certain logic there. There's a certain pattern. Again, not everyone holds that boar is putter and rishus harabim. Right? But if you take the Rebbe Akiva, the strong Rebbe Akiva view that boar is putter and rishus harabim, maybe the paradigm should be Shane and Regel, which are also putter and rishus harabim. And, right, so that really depends on which approach you take. If you say boar is putter and rishus harabim because you don't own it, so obviously that's going to be different than Shane and Regel. You own the shore that does the Shane and Regel, right? But if your explanation is just like, if you want to say it's like Shane and Regel, you can say Shane and Regel are putter because why is this person leaving their stuff in the street? And the same thing for boar. You're putter by boar, according to your Rekiva, because why is this person or this animal walking in the street without being careful, right? So we can learn it out from there. Okay. We have several other cases. I think we're going to save this for next time. There's a lot more to get into on this count, but just we'll maybe sketch the remaining cases, and then everyone can be ma'ayin until next time. The remaining cases and their headers here is Hifkir Reshuso Velo Hifkir Boro, which we just saw a little bit. The Ravid talked about, right? If you make a pit in your field, you're mafkir your field, but not the pit itself. What's the p'tur or the chiyuv, the p'tur of chiyuv there? What's the basis for p'tur according to those who are matir, who are poter? Then the case of hifkir reshuso uboro, which we also saw mentioned quickly. But what if you're mafkir not only reshus but the boar itself? What does that become? And then finally, and this we saw last time a fair amount, so we'll quickly review. Shor shechafar bor b'stei chavero. If an ox digs a pit in your neighbor's field, who's chayev and why? So these will be the remaining cases. And again, we're always going to have to weigh the question, if you're putter, is it because there's not a mechayev? Or is it because there is a mechayev, but there's some countervailing argument? The victim, so to speak, is also to blame, and that's what leads to the p'tur. So we'll pick up with that We'll pick up with that next time.